The name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. If you were to ask most people who read scripture regularly, they would likely be able to tell you which gospel they like the most. And I can guarantee you that if you find anybody in this church who has completed the 4 years of EFM, Education for Ministry, they not only can tell you which gospel they like the most, but can probably tell you in great detail why and have strong opinions about the others. But as for me, as for this Bible nerd, I love the Gospel of John. I know that the readings in Lent have been long this year, right? It has been a long Lent. And on the first Lent, we actually heard from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. But then they started to grow in length. And we heard from the Gospel of John with Nicodemus coming to Jesus the second week. And in the third week, the Samaritan woman at the well. And week 4, we had the blind man who was healed. And this week, on our final week of Lent, we get the raising of Lazarus. Throughout Lent, we turn again and again to gospel readings that allow Jesus to reveal who Jesus is. In the wilderness, when he was tempted by Satan, we learn that Jesus does not need earthly things such as power over another person. In Nicodemus, who comes seeking to know who Jesus is, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have..." Well done, eternal life, good job. With the Samaritan woman, she acknowledges to Jesus her own faith and knowing that the Messiah is coming, and when she says this, Jesus replies to her, "I am he." Last week, the blind man says to Jesus, or Jesus asks the blind man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The blind man answers, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus says, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And then today we have Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and in speaking with Martha, Jesus reveals to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will not die. Do you believe this?" And Martha says to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Every week for 5 weeks, we have heard of Jesus' life and his defining who he is. But in the Gospel of John, if you will just allow me to be a Bible geek for a moment here. So I'll allow you to cheat on this part of the pop quiz. Anybody know what chapter we were in today? 11. Well done. 11. Anybody know how many chapters there are in the Gospel of John? 21. Exactly. I'm not sure I could have answered that, so just for the record. And I've read it many times. We are in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is smack dab in the middle of the gospel. Up to this point, Jesus has been explaining who he is and what he came for. And then after this point, he will turn and go towards Jerusalem and the cross. And in fact, if we take one more Bible geek minute. There are going to be a few of them here, so just hold on. In the other three Gospels, when we get to Lent 5, what is the usual reading? What is the act that sends Jesus to be arrested, turning over the tables in the temple? That was the straw that broke the camel's back. But in the Gospel of John, it is him raising Lazarus from the dead that leads to Jesus' condemnation and death on a cross. This story is what draws us in to the next few weeks, so that the next 10 chapters in the Gospel of John lead into where we are headed in our church year. But the geeking out isn't going to stop there. I got a few more for you. Sometimes I like to think that the Gospel of John is like an Escher drawing, you know, and the geese turn into something else and then turn into something else and then it comes back again. Like, that's the Gospel of John. It continually points back to itself and has themes along the way. For example, in chapters 1 through 12, the main themes that Jesus speaks about are light and life. We heard some of that today. And in fact, light and life are mentioned 82 times in chapters 1 through 12. And what do we know when things repeat in the Bible? It's important. But after chapter 12 and the next 9 chapters, light and life is only mentioned 6 times. But in the reverse, the theme of love is only mentioned 6 times in the early chapters, 1 through 12, but then it is mentioned 31 times in the second half, 13 through 21. Jesus moves from being light and life into the deeper message of love. He doesn't hang on a cross because he is the light of the world. He hangs on a cross because of his love for humanity. And you may say, okay, Reverend Rachel, that was fun with the facts, and I'm not here to dazzle you with trivia with the Gospel of John. I am here for us to understand that what we heard today is part of a bigger picture of the season of Lent. And that today's reading is to prepare us for the Passion story that we will hear next week on Palm Sunday, followed by the stripping of the altar as we prepare our hearts and our minds for Holy Week. We go through all of these things that I've mentioned to remind us where we have walked with Scripture this Lent and where we are headed, namely to the cross. In his final public miracle, we are called to examine how it is that you and I practice the faith that we have been baptized into. How are we, like Nicodemus, or the man born blind, or the woman from Samaria, or Mary, or Martha? Who do we tell another person who Jesus is in our life? And perhaps the far more important question is, how are we following the one who we profess to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the light coming into the world? We may not be Jesus, but we are his hands and his feet. So how is it that you and I, taking an example from today's reading, how do you and I practice healing and resurrection in the communities that we live in? Where do healing and resurrection need to happen? Where are each of us called to be a healing force within our community? Where are we called to bring new life into the world through how we care for one another, regardless of whether we think they deserve it or not? Or put simply, as our vestry is looking again and again this year, how do we practice our discipleship? So you do have some homework this week. I'm going to invite you to strengthen your discipleship by rereading chapter 11, which you heard today, and reading chapter 12. Take time and do this. Pay attention to the words that jump out at you, or the words that pull at your heart, and then stop and sit and pray with that. Listen for God's voice speaking to you. And then come back next week for Palm Sunday. Be a part of our community as we begin the journey through Holy Week. Come to our services during Holy Week and walk with Jesus and your faith community to better know and be with the one who we profess to follow. It's hard to follow Jesus when we don't show up. And that's what Jesus did today. Jesus came and was present. Because Jesus is real and healing is real, and we will see in 2 weeks that resurrection is real. So how are you called to follow? Amen.